Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go.
All right, welcome back to That Nerd Show. And yes, we are back after technical difficulties last week. Skynet was at it again with our show. But we're here today. And it is the very first gaming roundup that we're doing for the new year. And we thought it'd be great to start off with reviewing what we thought were the best games of last year and what to look forward to for this year. I'm one of your hosts, Marcus Blake, and with me, as always, is Brendan.
K.O.Durf.
And I'd like to introduce two of our new bloggers and reviewers today, since we are beefing up our gaming section. But before I do that, I do want to let our fans know, we have not done enough gaming stuff. And when I say we, I have not been a part of it enough, as well as other people. Brendan's done plenty, because it's pretty much been Brendan. And we're going to change that in 2015, which means we're going to be playing more video games. We're going to be letting you know what you should be playing, what you shouldn't be playing, and thus why we have two new bloggers. And they are on the show with us tonight. So first I want to introduce Eric Bykowski. Say hi to our audience.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
And Michael Wyman, say hi.
How are y'all doing this evening?
All right, so you're going to be getting some interesting reviews, and at the same time, we're going to be talking a lot about some of our favorite games and stuff, including you'll actually get a quick little preview of what we think of Saints Row Get Out of Hell, because Mike's been playing it. So... But before we do that, we got to do a few little news items, get that out of the way. Then we're going to get to this week's Sign of the Apocalypse, and then we're going to get to gaming news and talking about video games in our very first gaming roundup, which we will be doing a lot more often, at least three or four times a month. So, because after all, it's video games, and we wouldn't be nerds if we didn't play video games. So... some exciting news for all of you people out there that like to complain about J.J. Abrams' Star Trek or Star Fantasy or his preview to Star Wars. Some good news about Star Trek 3, since Robert Orci has kind of left directing and writing the script. They have a new screenwriter, and it is none other than Simon Pegg, who will be helping to pen the screenplay for Star Trek 3. And I don't know about any of you guys, but I actually feel a lot better about this movie now that Simon Pegg is doing some writing duties. Put a nerd in charge of it. That's what I say. Brendan, what do you think?
I'm slightly optimistic about it just because Simon Pegg's involved, but I still don't trust Paramount because they want to turn Star Trek into whatever's the hot thing at the moment. You know, they had... J.J. Abrams basically turned it into Star Wars, and now they're talking about how they want it to be more like Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, no, let Guardians of the Galaxy be its own thing. I love Guardians of the Galaxy, but it is what it is. It's Guardians of the Galaxy. Let Star Trek be Star Trek, please. So hopefully they let Simon Pegg do that. I just don't have much faith that Paramount will.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you never know.
No, I don't. Hopefully I'm pleasantly surprised.
Well, the thing about Simon Pegg, though, is, I mean, he's a nerd at heart. He's actually written Star Wars fan fiction. You know, I think this is a good opportunity for him, and I would trust it in his hands a lot more than I would most. But I think you make a very good point about Paramount.
Hey, I like you know, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and, you know, the Golden... I forget what that movie was actually called, but I like all three of those movies better than I like the second Star Trek. So, you know, hey.
Well, we'll see what happens. All right, more casting news. Since Tom Hardy dropped out of Suicide Squad and won't be playing Rick Flagg anymore, they were trying to get Jake Gyllenhaal, and he is turning it down. So Jake Gyllenhaal won't be Rick Flagg, and we still don't know what's going on with that. It's probably a good thing and a bad thing. I don't think Jake Gyllenhaal is necessarily a bad actor, and he was absolutely fantastic in Nightcrawler. But, you know, I don't know if I would necessarily see him as Rick Flag. But then again, I've been wrong in the nerd universe before. I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be stupid and thought it was fantastic. So, again, don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But, no,
I'm with you on that one, by the way. I like Jake Gyllenhaal as an actor. I don't like him as Rick Flag. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
No, and I think if you give it time, I mean, you'll find someone.
Look, I think it's a good turn down for him because I don't think it would have been a good role for him, much like I thought it was a good thing that Joaquin Phoenix turned down Doctor Strange. So
right.
A great actor, I just don't think he was right for the part, and I think he would have flaked out on Marvel. So,
hey, Benedict Cumberbatch is Rick Flag. He's the go-to guy.
Leave him as Doctor Strange, please.
I'm just kind of kidding on that. all right, more casting news. There seems to be dropping a whole lot of stuff that's going on. A lot of different actresses are being tested for the first Star Wars standalone movie. The two top actresses for the female lead is Rooney Mara, and I always mispronounce her name, and I apologize for this. Was it Tasna? Tatiana
Maslany.
Thank you.
Maslany.
Anyway.
And Rooney Mara's sister, Kate, has also read for the role, which kind of, I'm kind of torn on that one because Rooney Mara is the better actress, but Kate's nicer to look at.
We want the hot one. Here's the thing about that. Again, they're both talented. They could probably be okay. Go with Tatiana. I'm sorry. Whether you love or hate Orphan Black, okay, and then the show's not for everybody, but to play six different characters, well, maybe six or seven different characters in one show, okay, it's pretty impressive. And she's been pretty good in anything that I've ever seen her in. So give it to her. She'll be great for it. That's all I'm going to say.
Angry about that in the slightest.
So, you know, if we get to pick teams, and this is not Twilight or anything, but if we get a say-so, if you're going to listen to that nerd show, you know, nerds, we want Tatiana. Cast Tatiana. We're going ahead and saying it right now. That's who we want. So that's all I have to say on that. And one more quick little thing. It was thrown out there. Two more quick things. One, it was confirmed that Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart would not be back for X-Men Apocalypse, but I think everybody kind of knew that. But unlike most sources, we're not necessarily giving away to rumors per se. But Patrick Stewart did actually confirm that this past week. So there you go. But speaking of the Marvel Universe, it was reported, and I love the title, The Marvel Universe is Coming to an End, which makes you just think, what, we're done doing movies? We're not going to do anything because Disney has Star Wars?
Clickbait.
Go ahead. You were...
No, I'm just saying it's, that title was just clickbait. People get to click on the article because it was complete bogus.
Right,
but...
and we did. Basically what it is the Marvel Universe as we know it will be coming to an end. They announced that it will smash together with the Ultimate Universe and will be replaced by Battle World, a mashup of many different Marvel realities. Now, what does that really mean? As I said, it's a huge development that's been made in the works for some time. The heroes have been trying to stop a series of universe-ending incursions where two universes collide with one another. The inciting incident comes in May's eight-part comic book thing called the Secret Wars event, which will be when the heroes fail to stop the regular and Ultimate Universes from crashing together, resulting in Battle World, which will be the Marvel Universe going forward. So, everybody confused yet?
Two quick thoughts on this. Number one, Battle World sounds like a cheesy 80s video game. And number two, speaking of Robert Orsi and some of those guys, anybody else think they're ripping off Fringe right now?
Hey.
Just throwing that out there.
Nice. But we're gonna get some more opinions on this. As comic book fans, Mike, Eric, what do you guys think? Start with you, Mike.
I think it sounds like a cheap fix to like they I think they're running into a stagnant issue. You know what I'm saying? Like they might be running out of ideas, and this is the only way they can think of revitalizing it. But I think it might be like with Dungeons and Dragons, they were good at version 3.5, but as soon as they went to 4.0, it went to crap. Like,
right.
The whole point of Dungeons and Dragons was to have the tabletop thing, not to have maps. You use your brain, you know? Just like the whole purpose of our Marvel heroes are to be in the Marvel universe, not to create a new universe. You want
right.
to create a new universe, start a new comic book.
Well, I think they're doing is they're forcing less popular characters that they want to push, and they'll move other characters out of the way. Like, for example, do not be surprised if the Spider-Man that survives is Miles Morales and Peter Parker goes bye-bye.
Right.
It could be a way for them to bring Ant-Man to the forefront, too, because not a lot of people know about him, and they're about to do a movie on him.
Right.
Very, very true.
With all the Marvel movies coming out.
I do like the concept of the Secret Wars. I mean, it is weird as it sounds. But you made a great little cheesy 80s reference. And while it's not a 2014 game, I've been having a lot of fun here lately since I bought an Xbox 360 to get into the Halo world. But I got Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which has been my guilty pleasure the past couple of weeks, which makes me feel like I'm in the first Terminator movie with lasers and cheesy 80s music and all that. So I think if Battle World for Marvel is going to be that cheesy 80s ripoff, let's have some fun with it. Let's throw it in a video game like Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, okay?
Yeah, I don't think they're going that route.
No, but, you know, one can hope. And then we can have more Queen music be in it, because let's face it, the Queen soundtrack to Highlander also made that movie. Sure, you had heads being chopped off and something called The Gathering and blah 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 blah, but the soundtrack was fucking awesome. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty much what's going on. Arrow and Flash return this week, and while I'm not going to give any spoilers, I think everybody already pretty much knew that that Oliver Queen was not dead. You know, I did see one little funny Twitter post about, oh my God, I can't, you know, it was one of those OMG, I can't believe he's dead. What are they going to do? And you're like, the show has not been canceled. Do you not know how this works?
Have you not read a comic book before, ever? Or if you're
right.
a female that's watching comic book properties for the first time, have you never watched a soap opera?
Right. So, anyway.
Because he's about as dead as any dead character on a soap opera.
Yeah. All right. And like I said, before we get to this week's Sound of the Apocalypse, I do want to do two things. One, two quick movies to review on the air. Taken 3, which we didn't get a chance to review it last week. Taken 3 is a fun little movie, but it's strictly a matinee. That's all it is, if you want to go to the theater to see it. It's just another excuse to see Liam Neeson kill everybody. And there probably wasn't a reason to make Taken 3. I mean, for him getting $20 million, yes, sure. Having Dougray Scott replace Stewart, and Stewart actually, you know, the other husband of what's her face in the movie?
Femke Johnson.
And he was absolutely great at it. But Dougray Scott's an incredible actor to begin with. But really, there was no point to make that movie. There just wasn't. Unless you just want to see Liam Neeson kill everybody. So I would give it a 7. Just because it's Liam Neeson and it's good and it's kind of fun. But that's where I draw the line. So The other quick one that we wanted to review real quick for kind of a science feel-good movies with teachers and stuff, we had the pleasure, or I should say I had the pleasure of going to see Spare Parts with George Lopez and Marissa Tomei and Jamie Lee Curtis. And it's based on the true story of four Hispanic kids who were all illegal immigrants who started a robotics club and built an underwater robot and went to a competition and competed with colleges and actually beat out MIT and Stanford and colleges like that on a budget of $800 to build everything when some of these schools were spending nearly $20,000. So it is a – the best way that I can put it is it's stand and deliver for the 21st century with, you know, kids building robots. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is a great movie. It's very funny. Everybody does a great job in it. You know, there's even, you know, some quick little references to other movies like Stand and Deliver. Probably the best little reference was when they're clearing out the school van to take the trip and the kid looks at Jamie Lee Curtis and like, I want to get in there. It looks like a horror movie, and just kind of smiles at her. But for 90 minutes of this feel good, you can do anything. Realizing that, you know, kids in dire circumstances can rise above their circumstances, and especially when it's based off a true story, it's definitely a movie, you know, worth seeing. So, I, you know, whether you go to the theater to see it or see it on demand or whatever, you know, definitely check it out. I'm sure it'll be on Netflix here in about 6 months. But I can definitely see this, you know, being one of those great movies that you watch in school, like Stand and Deliver or Dead Poets Society, to inspire students. So, and it's one of the less annoying movies with George Lopez, which makes it even a lot, you know, makes it a lot better. I want to say this too, Jamie Lee Curtis, you've always been hot. Kudos for you for owning the gray hair, you know, and not trying to be younger and stuff. And Marissa Tomei, for being 50 years old, yeah, I still have some dirty thoughts about you. But that's beside the point.
She's our generation, Sophia Loren. She's going to always be hot.
Yeah. So, and with that said, those are our two quick movie reviews on the air. And this leads into this week's Sign of the Apocalypse before we get to gaming. This is a little subcategory, as I like to call... it can't be true. And Brendan's going to yell at me for even saying this, but I'm going to go with it. I actually watched a movie this week with Channing Tatum where he was good.
Yeah, no, I don't buy it.
Yeah, that definitely...
I am raising the Bravo Sierra flag right now.
Yeah. That definitely deserves...
Holy crap.
Yeah. So the latest movie that he was in, and it actually just came out in more wide release. So, and Mike, did we lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Or Eric, was it? Did we lose you?
I'm still here. You lost me for a minute. I'm back though.
Okay. All right. Skynet's at it again. Okay. So. It just came out in limited release, the movie Foxcatcher with Steve Carell and Mark Ruffalo, and it's actually based on a true story about John DuPont running a wrestler camp and back in the 80s. Yeah. And Channing Tatum played Mark Schultz, who was an Olympian athlete and stuff like that. And who was part of this. But if you know the true story, Steve Carell, you know, as John DuPont, would eventually murder Dave Schultz, who was Mark Schultz's brother, who was helping running the camp, feeling jealous and all of that. And while Steve Carell was absolutely, you know, incredible in this movie, it's probably the best movie he's ever done, Channing Tatum was really good. I cannot deny that he wasn't good. He was not annoying. But with that being said, he didn't talk a lot. He pretty much did wrestling and snorted cocaine. And that was probably in the movie. That's probably why he was good.
And it was probably real cocaine, too, which made him probably less annoying because he was high.
Yeah.
That's my theory. I'm sticking to it.
Well, hey. All I can say is he definitely studied wrestling. He got it down, you know, probably worked hard with the role and then all that. So I've come to this conclusion that every once in a while you might be able to pull out a good movie. You know, you might be able to do a good movie as an actor. However, stay away from nerd movies. That you're always going to be hated for that. Don't be in G.I. Joe or some sci-fi movie. You know,
and
you're going to
you
ruin X-Men.
Gambit, I'm never going to forgive you. So,
yeah. But for this one moment in time, he does. I do applaud him for, you know, doing a good movie. So,
well, what's
okay.
The old saying? Even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and again?
Pretty much, yeah. All right, so
all right.
That's enough of me talking for a little bit. We're going to get to Brendan and doing some gaming news.
Okay, first up, there is a company creating a Mario that understands what he's doing, basically an AI Mario, so like feeling bad about killing little Koopas and whatnot, and I'm thinking to myself, do you want Skynet? Because this is how we get Skynet. And it'll even be worse, because it'll pop through and be like, it's me, Skynet. So, you know, that would just be creepy. So I really don't understand the idea of wanting to do this, but hey, people are doing it. On a more gaming side, Ori and the Blind Forest, which is a really cool 2D side-scroller, looks absolutely beautiful. It's going to be coming out on March 11th for Xbox One and PC. So if you like old-school RPGs and side-scrollers, and this one's done in watercolor, much like Child of Light, and you guys know how much I enjoy Child of Light, so please check out Ori and the Blind Forest. Looks really good, once again, coming out March 11th. The Elder Scrolls Online for console is not dead. I'm shocked. It's been delayed four times. The PC version isn't making that much money. I really thought they were just going to scrub the console version altogether. But as of today, we got a release date. So for those of you who have consoles, who want to play Elder Scrolls Online, it is coming to the PS4 and the Xbox One on June 9th. It's called The Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited, which is going to include the original game plus all the updates and content additions since the original PC game came out. And console gamers are going to love this. There is no monthly subscription fee. So June 9th, no monthly subscription because you already have to pay for PS Plus or Xbox Live Gold to play online. So you're going to be all set there. Okay. Basically, and then they're going to have a PS Plus or ESO Plus that's going to be offered in 30, 90-day, and 180-day durations. PS Plus members will not have to pay for any downloadable content or major expansions. So that's where that's coming from. So you can still pay a monthly subscription, but that gets you bonus stuff, not just the game. Let's see. What else is coming out here? What's going on here? DirectX 12 will be coming soon for you PC gamers. So we should have some more increased availability to use some of your ridiculously high-end graphics cards that aren't fully that DirectX 11 doesn't fully take advantage of. So DirectX 12 is coming. I don't know if we've got a release date on that, but it is coming soon. Some 3DS news, Xenoblade Chronicles. I was always a big fan of Xenosonic Saga and Xenoblade. But Xenoblade Chronicles 3D gets an April release date this year, so April 2nd. So if you're into Xenoblade and you have a 3DS, go pick that up. And I believe that's all I've got for tonight.
All right, cool. We've got a little bit till our halfway break where we'll be a couple of commercials and everything for some of our sponsors. But we wanted to jump into something real quick with Eric since Eric will be leaving us at the halfway point. And since we're talking about, you know, with our games from last year and reviews and all that, we're going to talk about sports games first. So, Eric, you pretty much play all the sports games, right? Every time they come out, you're with it and seeing, you know, what's new and all that, correct?
Yeah. I've been trying to hop on all the new ones. I think the newest one I haven't played yet is FIFA 15.
Yeah. I'll be quite honest with you. I haven't really – I've played one soccer game, and it just did not do anything for me. I love soccer, but just, nah, kind of, yeah. I'll stick with hockey.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm not that big of a soccer fan, but playing two-on-two FIFA online or against some of your friends is probably as fun or more fun than NHL, I feel. But either
really?
Way, it's a pretty good game.
Okay, well – we're going to start what I always think kind of sets the bar for all the sports games, and we're going to start with Madden because, like I said, it pretty much sets the bar with everything. I got Madden 15 personally a few months ago and have enjoyed it. It's been, very, very good and everything. A couple of points of realism. As a Chicago Bears fan, it is so realistic that Jay Cutler does throw three interceptions in the first half every game. And I know I'm not that bad at the game. We also took a closer look at the game after some controversy broke with Brendan's favorite team, the Patriots. And yes, when the Patriots do play, the balls are a little deflated. And we are going to keep saying deflated balls. Because if the NFL gets to make deflated ball jokes right up to the Super Bowl, then god damn it, we can too.
We'll abuse it.
All I know is that I'm surprised Indy's balls weren't deflated after that game.
So anyway, getting into sports game, have you played Madden a little bit this year?
Yeah, I have. I got it when it first came out. This is one of the first Maddens I've played. Well, I think I got 13. I skipped 14, but the ones I played before, I think the last one was 2008. So I don't have too much to compare it to, but the ones I have played since, this one is probably one of the best in the recent 4 years or so that I've played. Just realistic-wise, like we were talking about, and kind of gameplay-wise and the new defense schemes they came up with are pretty amazing, I feel.
I haven't gotten Madden every year, and I think that's kind of the thing about sports games is you don't necessarily have to get them every year. Some things are very, very similar from year to year until they decide to really develop, a new, engine, so to speak. And I think it does take a couple of years to really be able to do that with a game. The last one that I had was Madden 13. I didn't do... Well, I guess last year's, which would have been the 25th anniversary one, I didn't do it. But I could definitely see the differences and everything. And playing on a big screen TV and all that, I have to say I was very, very, impressed with it. My only complaint, and again, I guess I haven't figured out how to swap out the quarterbacks yet because I did want to get rid of Jay Cutler. Of course, I don't play any other team. I play the Bears, and they wouldn't let
me
do that.
Give them a smoke break.
Yeah. the other thing that I couldn't figure out how to do is it. I couldn't always go for it on fourth down because they always wanted to tie to the Madden playbook, and I, trying to get out of that and do your own thing is a little ridiculous. But again, I think it is very impressive. Johnny Manziel in the game still sucks. He needs to take a Snickers bar and all that. But from the graphics standpoint, I mean, they really have improved a lot of things and make a great all around fun game. Out of the other sports games, which besides Madden, which ones do you like and do not like?
NBA 2K, they came out with 14 for PS4 with the upgrades and everything. That game was pretty good. Had some glitches to it like they always do when they first come out for the new systems. But when they kind of when 2K15 came out, that was a pretty good step up. Gameplay-wise, a lot more realistic. Everybody has their signature shots, everything like that. Then they introduced that shot meter. So you got to get better feedback of your accuracy and everything like that. And then also the My Career mode, they also changed that up. 2014 was pretty sorry. Animations and everything, they had one person. Your guy was the main talker. Everybody else were kind of voiceovers or not even animated. So they stepped up their game this year with that. So that made it a lot more fun and more enjoyable to actually play and buy. So I like that about 2015.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts about NHL 15? Because I personally went from 13 to NHL 15 for the PlayStation 3. And Brendan and I were talking about this as they hadn't really caught up to the new generation consoles with NHL. And that's one of our favorite games. I mean, we're diehard hockey fans, and we love playing that. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, the step up PS4 wise, it has its flaws with everything. It's pretty laggy, I feel, especially playing online. It's pretty slow, hard to play compared to playing by yourself or against a friend. But I played My Careers a lot in there. This one's, I thought it was actually pretty sorry. You can only kind of play the game kind of when your guy's in the game. You can switch out or sub in different shifts, but it doesn't kind of let you explore the game so much, and there's really not much to it. So I like to kind of see how to play out if they kind of made it like My Career and 2K15 and NBA.
Well,
yeah. Well, the biggest problem a lot of the people had too with FIFA or NHL 15 on the new generations, the PS4 and the Xbox One, is there were a lot of modes that were missing that are on the prior generation games. So there was, if you like playing online, there was, and you still have a PS3 or an Xbox 360, there was absolutely no reason to buy the current gen game. You would have been much better off buying the 360 or the PS3 version, because you get to do all of those things online. Now, granted, the PS4 version is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the sweaters flowed and you move like an actual person. The physics of it was fantastic, the physics engine, but just not all the features are there yet, and I'm hoping they are with NHL 16.
Don't disagree with that at all. I mean, I haven't bumped up to a PS4 for the simple reason that, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've done, it just wasn't necessary. And Brendan has one, so, you know. But, you know, it still looks great. There are some glitches in there. I can't figure out if it's new controllers or it's just, you know, glitchy, or, you know, PS3 needs to be clean. But I've played enough games now that it, you know, trying to get the guys out from the boards, you know, with the speed of the game gets a little hard sometimes. And I swear to God, you know, the passes will just go off in all directions, even when I'm pointing the joystick in the right direction. But
yep, that's the main thing I've been noticing.
Yeah, and I think that what I honestly think about that game is the fact that you're trying to make a game for the newer generations, but it hasn't caught up yet. And you're still, you know, wanting to make for the older generation. So it's kind of in that in-between. It doesn't happen every time. It doesn't happen with every team. You know, you're trying to recognize the strengths and the weaknesses of, you know, of every team. So, you know, as for overall, you know, gameplay, I wouldn't... you know, as for overall gameplay, I wouldn't say that it's a bad game. I mean, it still rates very highly, but, you know, there's just some things that it's not ready for the PS4, and them trying to make it for the PS4, it's bogged down in the PS3. But the one...
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's NHL. It is an amazing game. But, yeah, like you said, it's kind of a little let down for owning the PS4 and looking forward to that coming out since 2014 never came out for it, so...
Right. Well, I think the next one they have, you know, NHL 16 will be strictly built for that, and then I will finally have to cough up the money and actually buy a PS4, which is a good thing. one thing that I will say about this before we come to the break is, I love the fight modes. they step that up. I swear to God, there's a lot of games in there that I am literally playing 4-on-4 most of the game.
Just to fight. The best part, one of the best parts of the game. They should incorporate finishers in there, I'm telling you.
Oh, every time you get close to the goalie or whatever, you know, it's a lot of rushing. You kind of tap the goalie. I mean, the other team is rushing in there. Fight, fight, fight. Like, I'm not going to turn it down. Let's take the parameters of fight night in there and throw it into hockey. So
yeah, I don't mind the 4-on-4.
No, I don't either. I can still score either way. Any other sports games that you want to mention were good or bad from last year?
As always, NBA Live, what I've played of it, pretty terrible. Doesn't even compare to NBA 2K. One of the other games I was kind of disappointed in was MLB The Show. Looks-wise, phenomenal game graphics-wise. But kind of outfield fielding, base running, things like that could be better. But then again, I mean, I'm used to playing the old PS1 Sega.
Right.
Ken Griffey Jr. baseball and everything where you have the breaks in between the bats and everything where you could kind of mess around and do your own thing, but I don't know. I was kind of hoping more out of MLB The Show, but once again,
okay.
Another first-time PS4 game that they came out with, so look forward to
next
year on that one.
Yeah, I think that's the rule of thumb. You come out with a new console system, wait a year on everything.
Yeah,
so.
It's tough. It's tough to do, but I mean, I'm pretty much disappointed in all the first games, but then again, they come around the next year, so...
Right.
Out,
all right, we're gonna come to the break, and Eric, we're gonna bid you farewell. We know you gotta step on out, and then we're gonna come back and start talking about role playing games and everything else. All right. All right. Thank
all
you
right,
for being on the show
you
with us tonight. All right.
Every business knows that the key to success is great marketing, and marketing your business starts with printing. From business cards to vinyl banners, from brochures to postcards. TrueSource Printing has everything you need to make your business successful. And if you're looking for the best price on printing, then your search is over. We have the best prices on printing. Just watch this video and see our everyday prices on business cards, brochures, flyers, door hangers, postcards, vinyl banners, and digital t-shirt printing. If you're one of our regular clients, then you can save even more on everyday prices. Make your business successful today and order your print supplies from TrueSource Printing. Take it to the source, because if it can be printed, we can do it.
All right, and we're back. And Mike, I think we lost you there for a minute.
Yeah, I'm back.
Skynet doesn't like the new guys. All right. So we got sports games out of the way, and it's time to get into the other two big categories, RPGs and first-person shooters. So I'm going to start with first-person shooter games for 2014. And so this is kind of funny because I get to branch off a little bit between Xbox 360 and PS3, and then Brendan gets to talk about PS4 and everything. I actually not really an Xbox person. I mean, I've always been more personally a PlayStation person. However, I got a Xbox 360 with 120 gig hard drive at a pawn shop for like $90 with a controller. So I went out and got some Halo games, and actually bought Titanfall so we could review that a little bit this year. I'm just going to go ahead and say, as for a first-person shooter game, I've spent a lot of time doing Call of Duty games, and Call of Duty Advanced Warfare is pretty incredible in its own right. But I'm just going to go ahead and throw the gauntlet down and say I think Destiny is the best first-person shooter game of the year. I really do, and I'm not even halfway through it. Yeah, I've been pleased with the overall story, the graphics. I love going back into the worlds, and to me, it's the answer for PlayStation 4, to Halo, so to speak. But I love that you can be the different characters, whether you're not just centered on being in your, the Master Chief or whatever. And the aliens, like in Halo, you have the little funny aliens, but in this one, you they're all kind of vicious, and then you have your leaders and stuff like that. It's daunting, I guess, is the word that I'm looking for in trying to go through all the, you know, the different, you know, ruins and buildings and stuff like that. And then having to go to a home world and stock up and run around that area for like 30 minutes before you could finally leave and go somewhere else. But anyway, Mike, what are your overall thoughts about Destiny?
I like it. I like the fact that your armor changes. Like, every stage, you get the opportunity to change what you look like. Then you can start investing in the color patterns and start changing it up that way. Just adds a little bit of personalization and flair to it.
Right.
You know, and this, now, some of the story, I like the storyline. And I like the difficulty factor in it. Like, when you start doing the actual challenging aspects once you get through the story the first time, making it harder. To me, that's the best game that's been out all year. I mean, Titanfall was a downer to me. So much hype, and it was kind of monotonous. But I like the co-op in Destiny, because even if I'm having a bad time in the multiplayer and not working out for me, I can just switch to co-op and still have fun, you know?
Right. I agree. There's been a few nights where literally I have just, you know, stayed up till 4 or 5 in the morning playing hours on end with Destiny, feeling, you know, that I'm not, you know, going everywhere. And I'm not a strong gamer, never have been. So I'm going to die a lot and have to remember how to get through certain things. But, you know, I've heard complaints that the story was kind of lacking and didn't really make much sense. And, you know, they didn't put a whole lot into it because it was such a different first-person shooter game. And like you said, the personalization with, you know, the armor and stuff. I think the story is actually pretty good. I'll tell you my first initial thought going through the storyline is the beginning of the movie Serenity, when they talk about terraforming and reaching out to the stars. I honestly very much had a Firefly up against the Federation type of feel to it. And to me, while I've not completed the game, the grand prize would honestly be if I end up on a ship that looks like a Firefly with this quirky crew and a preacher and, you know, oh, that would be awesome. I think that should be the way the game
ends. That's some of what Destiny's reminding me of, is a little bit of like a Mass Effect.
Right.
Like the sound effects you hear, some of the robots look similar. You know, it gives me a lot of Mass Effect feel just in there, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Brendan, have you had a chance to go through Destiny yet?
I played a little bit of it in both the alpha and the beta. And while I liked what I played, I decided against purchasing it just because there's a certain truth about me in first-person shooter games. I suck at them. I don't have the hand-eye coordination. I don't have the eyesight for them. Being colorblind in a game where 90% of the game is gray, you know, or some shade of brown, by the time I see somebody, I'm dead. So when I run at, you know, I could do the single player okay or the co-op okay, but the multiplayer, basically first-person shooter multiplayer for me works like this. I spawn, I run out 5 feet, I die. I respawn, I run out 10 feet, I die again. Rinse, repeat for about 20 minutes until I get so angry I'm ready to throw the damn controller across the room. So, yeah, I just decided, look, it was a very well put together game. The idea was great. The story was good. I just chose to not waste $60 and aggravate myself, because that's what it would have come down to. So, but I thought what I got to play was done very well. It's just not my style of game.
Right. I can see that. And you commented on Titanfall. I recently just got that for the 360. I like Titanfall, but my two biggest complaints is making it strictly an online version. I don't want to do that with first-person shooter games. I very rarely like to play online. I want to go through it on my own. I want to be able to do stuff. But I like being able to get into the Titans and out. It's just the first time I played, as I'm going through it and all hell's breaking loose and everything, is, you know, a 10-year-old kid who wouldn't shut up online. And it's cursing, and I'm like, who the fuck are you? I want to slap you. Where are your parents? It's way past your bedtime, you know. I'm hoping that they come out with, you know, a non-online version of that to where you can kind of go through it on your own. I think that's what's going to make that game a lot better. But, you know, as I said, I think the Titans are, you know, pretty cool and from a first-person shooter standpoint. You know, a buddy of ours at the pub was talking about, you know, story and video games, and I made the comment that since I'm a writer, the story isn't as important to me because it's my way of kind of getting out of thinking about story. So when I do first-person shooters, I just literally want to kill things. That's all I want to do. So, you know, in getting to the Call of Duty, Mike, have you done a lot of the Call of Duty games?
Yeah, I've played every single one, even before they were online, and I've seen a decrease in everything. I mean, I used to be
really
pretty good at them, and I remember with the Modern Warfare, I ended up, like, at one point I was ranked 30,000 in the globe, and then, like, three or four more games later, I heard they had done some update. And it was something started happening to my connection where I used to go like 33-3 with the kill death ratio, and then out of nowhere I started. It was the complete reverse. I go, you know, 3-33, and
right.
You know, I understand a couple of bad games, but it was every single game. And then I started hearing people say that there was some lag modifier that people that couldn't afford a good internet connection. Since a lot of kids were having that issue and they complained to the parents and then the parents complained to the industry. I don't even know how true it is. I just know that my game suffered after some update. And then I started hearing this talk and I can never find any hard evidence on this. I just know my gameplay has suffered. And even like my old group that I used to play with, they don't play with me anymore because I'm that bad. Like, and I used to have people cheering for me when I was on their team, and then all of a sudden I start playing and people would be like, hey God team, why don't you get out of our room? You're horrible.
Right.
And I was like, there's no way that would just happen. But the new one
Mike
I have been uh-oh.
Well, what I was going to say is what Mike doesn't know is he just introduced a theme for our gaming roundups in the future, conspiracy theories in the gaming world. Because some of them are actually true, and I don't think you're necessarily wrong on that. I think the whole point is trying to keep people, you know, hours on end playing these games and keep coming back for more. You know, if it's boring and you're killing everything, then, you know, why would you go back to a new one? So,
no, I wasn't
I gotta
bored
move.
Killing everything.
All I'm going to say about the Call of Duty stuff is because I'm currently playing, you know, Modern Warfare 3. I still like that, Advanced Warfare. And, you know, I was working on Ghost a little bit before the show. And I'm kind of doing my own little comparison between these three latest ones. And, you know, I like them all. But, you know, Advanced Warfare, it's okay. I think it's not as good as past ones. I kind of like Modern Warfare a lot more. But I think, you know, it's kind of cool that you had Kevin Spacey in the game, who's pretty much just playing his character from House of Cards on Netflix. You know, there's definitely some, you know, cool new gadgets. And my biggest thing about Call of Duty has always been, you know, the different layouts and stuff like that. So I would still give it, you know, 8 out of 10 as a game. But as the Call of Duty that I'll pull out more and more, probably not. So, all right. So I think we can pretty much all agree that Destiny was the best first-person shooter game to come out this past year. And very much looking forward to continuing with it. So we are winding down this show. We got about 10 minutes left, so we've got to get to role-playing games. And Brendan, you have pretty much told me that you think Dragon Age is the best one from last year.
Oh yeah, Dragon Age was, or I'm still in the middle of it, but it's a phenomenal game. Just the scope of the game, it's larger than both of the previous Dragon Ages combined. At 12 hours in, I hadn't fully completed the first area yet. I still had like 10 side missions to do. And the way you built your Inquisition, you had the war table and you had your advisors and then the rest of your party. But you could send your advisors out on missions to gain new troops for the Inquisition, new supplies for the Inquisition, open up new areas to travel to in the game. But in order to do that, you had to do all these side quests to earn influence, to grow the political capital of the Inquisition. So you do all these side quests, and then you get to spend the points, and it's just this really involved system that works so well, and there's nothing wasted to it. And all of the side missions aren't like go kill 10 rats. Well, I mean, some of them you get the, you know, go kill quests, but there's a point to it. You're not just going to kill it to go kill this stuff. You're trying to clear out this horse farmer's fields of, you know, demons and all this other crap, so that the guy will actually supply all the horses for the Inquisition so you can have cavalry.
Right.
You know, so all of these things actually make sense, and there's a reason why you're going to do them. And then the cutscenes are phenomenal. Voice acting, it's a BioWare game. The voice acting's freaking fantastic, and they write stories so well. Another game that I thought was a great RPG that I talk about a lot is Child of Light. It's from Ubi Art. It's a kind of artful division, so to speak, of Ubisoft. And it's a 2D side-scroller, turn-based RPG. And it's, you know, it's about a young girl, but it's really not geared toward children. It's got some darker themes and some areas that actually younger kids, like you would normally say, oh, it's a watercolor game, my five-year-old can play it. Nah, I really wouldn't actually do that. But it's just a wonderfully put together, beautifully designed game. Once again, there's nothing wasted. Everything has a purpose, and it's a great story. So those are my two favorite RPGs from last year. Both one that's a little one that you can just go get paid for $10, or some places it's free. I think it was actually one of the PlayStation Plus games of the month last year. I think that's how we got it. Then, of course, you had Dragon Age, which is the big one from BioWare. But those are my two favorite RPGs for the year.
What do you think, Mike? Have you done Dragon Age?
Oh, yeah, I've got that, and I agree. I mean, it kicked the crap out of the other two that came out. I mean, it's kind of like a Grand Theft Auto, but medieval fantasy. Because, I mean, you can go anywhere. There's so many chores to do, so many weapons to craft. It's just so in-depth, just like he was saying. I mean, yeah, Dragon Age is pretty good.
Well, I'm going to throw a little wrinkle into this whole discussion, just because I can. I do not disagree with what you guys are saying. I haven't even gotten the full scope of it yet. In fact, I'm about to start a new game, a new character, because I just didn't like the first one that I started with. But now that I've kind of gotten through everything else, I feel like I can spend some more time with it before the big games that I really want to play for 2015. From a story standpoint, voice acting, absolutely, totally agree. Beautiful, beautiful game. As my favorite RPG game, no. I know it's going to sound weird. I like Shadows of Mordor more. I had more fun with that. I really did.
Well, it's kind of apples to oranges, though, because Shadows of Mordor really isn't an RPG. It's more of an action-adventure game. It falls in the same genre as Assassin's Creed. Now, you could definitely say it was better than Assassin's Creed, because I think it out-Assassin's Creed Assassin's Creed. It did a much better job of portraying the same type of game experience, and it did a better job than Batman, because last year's Arkham game was not very good.
Right. Well, and the same thing, you know, you talk about the Assassin's Creed games. I do think they've kind of run their course in a lot of ways. I don't have a problem playing Assassin's Creed in the colonial era. I'm not saying Rogue is a bad game or Unity was a bad game. In fact, I kind of, you know, I kind of like the being on a ship and steering it and being able to shoot cannonballs. But, you know, I think Assassin's Creed, I mean, the earlier games were just better. I mean, Assassin's Creed 2 is probably by far the best one they've ever done. And you know, you're giving me an out here and how I look at it. If you're talking, if you're saying Shadows of Mordor is action adventure, then I can absolutely agree and say Dragon Age Inquisition is the best game of 2014. But as the one that I have enjoyed playing more over the last few months, Shadows of Mordor. And I think because it's the Lord of the Rings story. I love killing orcs. You know, it. I just enjoyed it.
The Nemesis system was so revolutionary in what it did. You know, you've got just these villains that remember you, and you create these actual rivalries within a game. So you actually,
right.
There's actually consequences to dying, and there's actual, you know, you get this feeling of, I want to go kill that bastard. He just beat me, and now he's, you know, gone up the orc chain of command, and he's making his name off of me. Screw that. I'm going to go kill that dude.
Oh, so
Go ahead, please.
You got to check. If you like that kind of stuff where everything's changing depending on your decisions, you got to try the Walking Dead series that came out through the store, like the Xbox store, the PlayStation store.
Yeah, Telltale Games, Walking Dead series. They're doing one for Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah, I bought that, and they only have the first episode. But there's, like, I made one decision at the beginning. The very first decision I made influenced the last decision that I made at the end of that chapter, and it just left my jaw dropped. And I was like, okay, I'm hooked. I want the rest. And I, like, check every other day to see if the darn other episode has been loaded on soon.
Yeah.
That's great. We got about 3 minutes left on the show, so we're going to move kind of quickly here and wind this down. But before we do, our first game of the year that we're going to review is Saints Row Get Out of Hell. And, Michael, you've been playing a little bit, so in 60 seconds or less, what are your initial thoughts of this game?
Excellent. And I was on the fence about this series just because I've played all of them and I've lost interest in the middle of it all. But this, within, I had forgotten I was playing this game, and then I slid onto a rocket and the theme from Armageddon started playing, the I'm Not Gonna Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. And I just started cracking up. It just reminded me that, oh crap, I'm playing Saints Row. This is a comedy. Like, and it was hilarious. You're riding a rocket into the atmosphere, and everybody from the game is saying, oh, you're so badass, you're such a tough guy, and they're all giving you their last moments before you're supposed to die, and you end up saving the world and becoming the president of the United States, and then aliens invade. It's just so many things, and there's little hints at everything. Like, there's a little Leave It to Beaver hit, like, in the second chapter. There's a little knock on The Matrix. There's a knock on Superman, Spider-Man. Like, they do a little hit on every popular.
So basically what you're saying is this game is a great game and we're starting the year off right, huh?
Yeah, but they do fail because Get Out of Hell, there's the re-election and then there's Get Out of Hell. Re-election is the president fighting the aliens. And then that
all
ends.
All right, before we go too far, we got about 90 seconds left, so I got to wind this show down. But save the rest for your review, which will be coming out hopefully next week about Saints Row Get Out of Hell. A couple quick honorable mentions that we did not talk about from a first-person shooter game, Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Great game if you love the Borderlands games. A lot of great comedy in it. And if you want just a true hack and slash, have some fun, Diablo 3, the Ultima Reaper Edition, was actually really a lot of fun. So, with that being said, got less than a minute left on this show, and we do have to wind it down. I want to thank Michael Wyman and Eric Bykowski for being on the show with us today. And I hope everybody's looking forward to reading their reviews and reading their blogs about gaming, as we do a lot more in the gaming world than we have in the past. Also, I want to tell everybody, play more video games. We got some good ones coming out this year, especially the Mortal Kombat game, which we can't wait to play. We will be back next week with regular theme shows. So everybody, stay tuned to that nerd show. Have a great nerd weekend, and we will be back. Say goodbye, everybody.
Play more games.